Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. We are excited about being with our viewers and listeners all across the nation and the world. We want to welcome Christian Television Network on the Gulf Coast. And, of course, everyone that's connecting with us. We want to encourage you to remember that we are two programs back-to-back. And you can always find out more at VFNTV.com. Of course, if you haven't liked our Facebook page, it's a great way to stay updated with us on a daily basis. And that's VFNTV. We have so much to share and talk with you today about. In a previous program, we were talking about dealing with the finality of death and crises that happen in our life, and that how we can find hope, you know, in a time of struggle and pain, lack and loss and devastation. Jesus is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's there for you, and we're going to continue to talk about that more and highlight the movie that Pastor Greg Laurie put together as a result of losing his own son 6 years ago. It's a tragic loss in a car accident, and his wife says they wish that they had a movie like this during a time when their son passed away. There's something about hearing firsthand from others who have suffered and been through the fire and made it on the other side with hope. And you're going to be able to see that, and we want to be able to show it to you. We're also going to be talking about living a life on the borders, living a life with borders and boundaries, and being watchmen on the wall. There's a lot of talk about borders these days, but we want to talk about having spiritual borders and what they do for our lives and what happens when we don't have them in our lives. We're also going to be talking about the gospel of all. There's something about that word all. It's all-inclusive. It means everything. It means not leaving anything out. And we're seeing a lot of stuff that's being left out today. But Jesus made it plain, and he made it very clear. All is a very, very important word to him, and it needs to be a very, very important word to us. I know that Steve's going to be encouraging us and talking to us about the nameless and faceless people in the kingdom of God. You and I had a chance to talk about that over the weekend, and I'm like, whoa. It's awesome.
Amen.
And so we're looking forward to hearing that, as well as talking about being a fair weather fan. So we have so much for you in this program, but we want to get right to it and discuss, continue to discuss what we just shared on a previous program regarding the movie Hope for Hurting Hearts. And Pastor Greg Laurie put this movie together, like we said, and it was just a way of being able to cope with loss, tragedy. And it's amazing how nobody likes to focus on tragedy. And who does? You know, who wants to focus on pain? But it happens. I mean, it happens in life. And we need to know, we need to be prepared for it when it does happen. But if you're going through it right now, you need to get through it. You need to get through it. And people deal with pain. I've learned many different ways. Some people are expressive. A lot of people cry. Some people take it all in. Everybody mourns differently, and there isn't a correct way to mourn. And it's important to respect how others process pain because we're all differently. But we know the one who can help you in the midst of it, and that alone will help you. I remember of the man who wrote that hymn, and I'm trying to remember it, when he lost his wife and his daughters on a boat. Maybe it'll come to me here before the program, but it was tragic loss, and it's a hymn that people have sung for years. But it was birthed out of that pain, and it ministered to him greatly. But I want you to see Pastor Greg Laurie just briefly share about some of the things that people said to him during the time of losing his son. He's in ministry for many years. He pastors a large gathering, and it's probably the furthest thing that he thought in his mind that could happen to him. And some of the things he learned that are probably not the right thing to say. And part of hearing this is us getting kind of informed and educated because we want to do well.
Right.
We want to speak life into a situation, but we would feel horrible if we said to say something that didn't land or didn't have the desired effect that we want it to have. So wisdom, you know, now is way better than, you know, having to deal with something like this later. And if you have, hey, it's okay. You can repent and move forward from that. But it's good to learn. Watch this.
I think that there are things you can say and there are things you should never say. What should you say? Sometimes less is more. When I had people just come and say, I love you, I'm praying for you, that was actually a lot. I think what was hard was when people, and sometimes Christians maybe do this more than other people, I think with a good heart, but not with the right words, they'll try to explain it to you. No one can explain it when you suddenly lose a loved one, or even if you've known it was coming, this is a time of mourning. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to rejoice, and this is the time to mourn. You know, when Job went through all of his calamity, we read that his counselors came to see him, and when they saw his condition, they were so moved by it, they said nothing for days. That was perfect. It's when they started talking, the problems began. But things that can be said, someone said to me, well, God must have needed another angel in heaven. Well, that's a nice sentiment, but people don't become angels. So it's actually theologically incorrect. Someone only moments after it happened said to me, well, if it doesn't kill you, it only makes you stronger. That certainly wasn't helpful. Someone else said to me, well, you know, you have another son. Is, oh yeah, well, we had two sons, so we can spare one, I suppose. Someone said to me really shortly after it had happened, only weeks after, are you over it yet? You know, don't ever ask someone who's lost a loved one, especially a child, if they're over it. Here's the answer. They'll never be over it. They're just going to have to get through it, and it's going to take a lot of time. We need to be patient with people. My friend Stephen Curtis Chapman, who had his daughter die, said the best thing that was said to him were these words. Someone just came up and said, there are no words. And that actually, you think, well, that's not helpful. No, it is, because that's kind of the mourning with those that mourn. You're just saying, I don't know what to say, but I love you. There are no words.
Wow. Wisdom for us today to be able to glean and understand that. What can we do? And you know what? Maybe you've realized and you heard this. Maybe I've said some of those things in the past. Hey, it's okay. We're learning. You know, what's done is done, and we can ask God to forgive us, and great, there's grace for all of that. But, you know, it's something that we can take with us and apply in the future, and to be sensitive to those that have gone through something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult transition. I know me personally, when I got home after my deployments, there was always specific dates that reminded me of those, you know, those brothers that I had lost, and for a long time, and just like you said, it's not something that you just get over. Mm-hmm. You have to get through it. And I remember specific conversations that, you know, we've had that, you know, through a lot of prayer, but it's that awareness. You know, somebody once said to me, it's just like a lot of times we can focus on death, but we have to remember that death is a gift because it helps us to be able to live, because it's that reminder. It's just like, we live for them too, remembering the fact that they've lost their life. But at the same time too, it's just like God has given us the gift that we can live for them and celebrate those moments that we had with them. You know, it's that perspective that we can still hold on to and hold on, like you're saying, remember those joyous moments.
It helps you to appreciate life. It helps you not to squander what you do have, mm-hmm. and to live for a greater purpose. Oftentimes, you know, until we come into the full revelation of God and how much he loves us and given our relationship for, the highest ideal that people often have to live for becomes their children, mm-hmm. or their parents or their family. But God's called you for so much more than that. You're called to give your life to him and to help your family to do the same, to live for him. We're here only but a vapor, the Bible says, and then we will all pass, you know, we'll all pass that way. And it's important. It's important that we give thought to our ways. The book of Proverbs is a book in the Bible that was written by King Solomon, and there's 30 chapters in it. And in each of these chapters, there's wisdom for us to glean. And He says that a wise man and a wise woman give thought to their ways. They evaluate their life. They evaluate how they're living. And they get to examine to see, hey, is this worth it in the end? Because what's worth it at the moment, oftentimes at the end, when everything is balanced out, when the books are open, we realize that really wasn't worth it at all. What if we could evaluate beforehand, before we do it, in the midst of it, will this be worth it? We want you to see the trailer itself. We want you to take a look at it for you to be able to see it and encourage others to take a look. Watch this.
Mountains high, valleys low. These are the things that make us grow. But all I wanna know is if you can hear me. And all I wanna know is if you're there, God. So I
it was that day I felt robbed.
When I heard the news that our son had died,
I can say that I've been in a place where I feel hopeless.
I read about the blind man seeing and the deaf hearing.
I felt as if someone had taken a big eraser to the chalkboard of my dreams and just erased everything.
I felt like I could literally die.
I'm not supposed to be visiting the graveside of my wife. So, you know,
does he love me? Does he hear me? And when I was searching for him, he didn't answer me, so I felt alone.
And give me the faith I want to believe.
I think instead of asking the question, why?
I believe.
We should be asking the question, to whom shall I turn? You need to turn to God. He is the hope you're looking for.
I said, I believe.
I found myself being almost gathered up into the heavenlies with the Lord.
I just raised up my hands. And I've never to this day felt the presence of God so thick.
I hit bottom and God was there.
Heal me from the greatest disability of all, death.
Even though I don't understand, I can't see, I don't, it's dark kind of, I still believe.
Every promise that he ever spoke to me, everything I'd ever read in the scriptures was real.
And God was there, and faith kicked in. The hardship you're going through right now, the crisis you may be facing, you need to know one thing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God is in control.
Seasons change, well, I change too. Like spring and summer, and fall back to you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There is a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home. Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Floating on clouds. Everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded with inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful, that's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow. Mm.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what He's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because He is the Word.
We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, He's our Lord and our Savior. But He's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not. We're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with His disciples in a house, by the way, and He's teaching them about the things of God. Ooh. And His biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind and He hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since He's eaten. We need to go rescue Him. We need to rescue Him from His ministry because He's lost His mind. Don't He know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And just goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things He said, this is very important. Of all the things He said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside, you know, and yo, sir, no, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and He pauses. He looks at the disciples and He's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow His teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to be talking about borders. You know, we've talked a lot here in recent days regarding what is happening on the southern borders of our country right now. I mean, we've had issues for quite some time where the borders have been compromised, mm-hmm. and people have gotten in, illegals, and there have been in the country. But now what we're seeing, is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. We're having thousands upon thousands, 50,000 at last calculation, but growing, of illegal children now that are being brought to the border, and it's unprecedented. It's unprecedented. When you think about borders, you think about a protective wall. You think about boundaries, if you will, a fence. And the whole idea for boundaries and borders is so that the country or the city, talking about it at a different time period, but let's talk about a country, is that a country can keep enemies out and protect the people that are within the walls. That's why you have borders, right? It's for protection. And in biblical times, you know, we see that there have been fortified walls, fortified cities, and it was a way to protect the city. It was a way to keep the enemy at bay and to be able to keep them out. These walls were very, very thick. I mean, some reports, the walled city of Jericho was, you know, 30 feet high and 10 feet across. I mean, mm-hmm. these were massive, massive walls. And they served their purpose. And you look at it, you know, the walls in Canaan were described in the Bible as walls that were going up to the sky. They were that high. Mm-hmm. Walls that were going up because they had, you know, giants in the mm-hmm. land. So you can imagine how tall the walls had to be. And you look at that and you say, wow, as long as the Israelites in the Bible obeyed God, as long as they lived for him, the walls of their city were protected. They were protected. They were kept safe. But it's interesting that when they disobeyed God, all types of holes and all types of calamities and all types of things mm-hmm. were broken down. And I think mm-hmm. about in Nehemiah, I believe in chapter 1, where Nehemiah says, oh my goodness, that the walls, they've been burned. The gates have been destroyed. And he wept in brokenness and repented for his sin and the sin of the nation, but he realized this is terribly, terribly wrong. But there's something that's interesting when you think about these walls and these borders, that no matter how thick these walls were, no matter how high they were, they were always, you know, exploited, if you will. You know, somehow the enemy got in. Mm-hmm. I mean, they built these massive things. The whole idea was to keep them out.
Right.
But somehow, at some point, there was a weak spot. There was an opportunity for these walls to start crumbling, to have some holes. Mm-hmm. And you're only as strong as you know, the weakest brick. You know, you're only as strong as the whole structure. And if you're broken or compromised in any one of those areas, then it's very easy to get on in. And as I was just thinking and just praying about what has been happening on our borders, you know, in our nation, it's a really serious, serious thing. You know, Rick Joyner says that once a nation loses its borders, it exists to be a nation. And
it ceases to exist.
Correct. Ceases to exist to be a nation. Thanks. But I think about what's happening. Maybe one of the reasons that we have lost, are losing the borders right now, unless something changes and we repent and get back to God, is that because we've lost our spiritual borders. And Lord, I believe the Lord began to speak to me about that. We've lost our spiritual bearings, if you will. We've lost our spiritual borders. And something about borders, they mark limits. They say that you can go up to this far and no more. that stays on that side and this stays on this side, but there's a clear line of demarcation. You know when mm-hmm. you've crossed it. Mm-hmm. And this used to be a nation that understood that there was a clear line. There used to be a time where people understood that there were things that were good, and then there were things that were bad. And even though that they may have personally weren't seeking God and they personally weren't going after God, they clearly knew that what they were doing was wrong mm-hmm. or what other people were doing wrong, and they knew it. And they also knew what was good. But today we're living in a day where good is being called bad and bad is being called good, and the mm-hmm. spiritual lines, if you will, have been blurred. They've ceased to exist. And so you look back and say, wow, maybe we're losing maybe physical borders because, you know, our nation, although we've sent, you know, missionaries and we've done a lot of great things, we've exported a lot of horrible things as well out of mm-hmm. this nation. A lot of evil things have come out of this nation to other nations of the world. Mm-hmm. And so we've lost our spiritual bearing, you will, you know, God was the original intent of our nation, and that has been eroding for quite some time now. But maybe that's been eroding because the walls around our families have been eroding. See, in order to have, you know, walls around a nation, you got to peel back the layer of onion a little bit and go see, well, what happened to the walls around our families? And you look at it, they have been broken. You know, you, as a parent who loves Jesus, you want to have a home that is a sanctuary to God. You want to have a home where God's will, His word, and His ways are mm-hmm. honored. And so although in your physical home you may have boundaries like bricks and, you know, stucco and things like that, and you have gateways and accesses into your physical home, there's also accesses into the spiritual climate, the spiritual, that what's the unseen realm. And those are things that you have to make sure that as a parent, as a spiritual parent, as an adult in the home, that you make sure that there are borders in your family. There are things that you need to keep out, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you have to protect the ones that are within. And you see that right now, many of the borders around families are broken, they're tattered. There's all kinds of open gates and all kinds of open holes. Anything can come in and anything can go out. Right. And families right now and children are growing up in environments that are not safe. A place that's not where God is not being honored. Where anything is being allowed. And then we're wondering. We're wondering why the nation is in the place that it's in. We're wondering why, what's going on? Well, there's no borders. Mm-hmm. There are no limits. Mm-mm. Anything goes, whatever you want, it's okay. Let anybody come in. And God's not being honored. God's not being respected. Parents are not being respected. You know, there's no honor in marriages. It's just completely do whatever you want. And some of the gates that you have in your home, some of the gates you have in your home that you may not even realize, and we're talking about access points, ways that they can get it in the wall, if you will. Mm-hmm. Is all the media technology that's available today. You have television, you have iPhones, you have tablets. There used to be the time where you could limit because of lack of technology. There was one TV in the house. You know what I'm saying? Right. It came out at one time when we mm-hmm. all watched it, you know, right. or they all watched it.
And had three channels.
Yeah, three channels. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, a lot of kids were outside playing and being involved in other activities. Mm-hmm. And that was it. But now you have TVs that are in every room. You have tablets and internet and all types of communication. And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to kind of unpack this and continue to have this discussion about what happened to the walls? Mm-hmm. What happened to the word limits? What happened to the word boundaries? And we're going to see what has happened and what we can do about it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. and 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to VFNTV.com.
I want to say this, too, before we go, that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to, on the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually. You can go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org or VFNDreamCenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again, Central Time, and these are Central Times, the presence of the Lord was so powerful last Sunday. And so there's nothing like the presence of God, and that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that He wants to be with us, but you can do that. And you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to VFNDreamCenter.org and find out the details on the front.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about borders. We're talking about keeping things out that need to be out and protecting those that are within. And we talked about how, you know, you need to have spiritual walls around your own home. You need to be able to have things that stay out and not come in. And with all types of technology that's available today in every area of your home, let me tell you, there's all kinds of hell that wants to get in your house. All type of hells, all type of demons and wrong ideologies and antichrist messages, views, sinful messages, images. And they want to get through. They want to come in and have access. And you say, well, you know, is that going to make a difference? Hello? Yes, it does. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And it gets into your home. You know, I've had a career in the insurance business, and I had the opportunity for many years to visit with people in their homes. You know, there's something, I can't tell you how many homes I've been inside. I've sat at kitchen tables across concerned parents, and you get a feel for the home. You know when you're entering a home of peace, and you know that when you're walking into a home that has spiritual agitation, if you will, and you see the things that are happening, you just know it. You can sense it. You can feel it. And it matters. It matters. You ever been to a situation that the environment in a room has quickly changed? There's been a joyful and light mood, and all of a sudden something happens, and the tension is so thick that someone says, you can cut it with a knife. No one said a word, but the environment changed. Well, all hell comes in your home when you are watching all types of just evil things when things are being viewed and played in music. I mean, it's just horrible. And so there's no walls. And the enemy comes on in and devours and takes down the inhabitants of the land, of the house, of the home. But, you know, it goes even a step further. Maybe we have lost our natural borders because we lost our spiritual borders around our country. Maybe we lost our spiritual borders around our country because we've lost the borders around our home. Mm-hmm. But maybe we lost the borders around our home because we've lost the borders around our own individual lives. You've allowed things to come into your gates, and your gates are your eyes and your ears. You've allowed images, you allowed wrong conversations, you've allowed songs and music and ideologies you've given voice, ear to the enemy, and you've allowed those words to get on the inside of you. And careful, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And before you know it, because you didn't guard your ears, because you didn't guard your eyes, because you didn't value protecting the wall of your temple, if you will, you've allowed the enemy in. Mm-hmm. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take over. You know what I mean? He wants habitation. He doesn't want to just visit. He wants to dominate. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have any walls around you, this is what Proverbs says, which is interesting. Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. See, a city whose walls are broken down, anything goes, anything happens. It's the, you know, wild, wild west, if you will. You know what I mean? It's just, it's wide open. But if you lack self-control and constraint, which the Holy Spirit empowers us, right, then anything goes. There's no defense for that. You can't say stop. You're totally taken over. There's no protective edge around you because you've given in. Mm-hmm. And God's calling us not to give in. He's calling us to be repairers of the wall. He's causing us to firm up our foundation and to have a place that we're going to say, the enemy, the line has been drawn. You cannot come in my life. You cannot come in my home. You cannot come in this nation. You got to get out. Mm-hmm. You got to get out. You know, in biblical times, the walls had towers. They had towers. And the idea that the Hebrew word for the watchman on the wall, it meant to lean forward. This was the watchman was one who stood watch. They were looking for enemy threat. They were seeing. They were looking so that they can see. That's interesting. Right. You have to look so that you can see. If you're not looking, you're not going to see for anything.
Right.
And you have to be awake. You have to be alert. Isaiah talks about that it was a season in Israel's history where the watchmen were drunk and they were mute, and they weren't even aware. They couldn't even bark to make noise. They couldn't do anything. And so a watchman does two things. They look so that they can see, and they alert those that are in the walls of pending trouble and concern. And I had a chance to look at some things, and I had learned this through some just, you know, life. You hear things and you don't know where you pick them up. But, you know, the Great Wall of China was something that was built. They call it one of the eight wonders of the world or something like that. And it was built over different periods of dynasties, Chinese dynasties, and they added to it. But the whole idea of the Great Wall of China was to, again, protect the area and to keep invaders and, I believe, the Mongols out from crossing over. Well, there was this general in one of the wars. I believe his name was Wu Sanguine or something like that. And he compromised. See, oftentimes it doesn't matter how thick the walls are if the watchmen on the wall are asleep.
Yeah, it's useless.
I mean, think about it. Look what's happening in our nation. It doesn't matter what kind of protective borders. If the leadership doesn't protect the fence, if they're not on the fence, if they're not having policies and strategies and plans to do what they can to keep those borders safe, then what's the point? Because the enemy is always trying to get in. He's always looking for holes, always looking for opportunities. It's those that stand and watch. What happened was, as I understand it, is that his concubine was kidnapped by the enemy, and what he did to get her back was open the gates and allow the enemy to come on in. And that's how what basically was a turning point is believed to the Chiang Kai-shek or something like that. It was a turning point, and it's when the Ming Dynasty came on in and basically had their whole rule in China and all that type of stuff. We'll put Wikipedia there for you so you can read more and find out if you want to find more about that. But the idea was that he compromised on the wall. The watchman who was supposed to guard the wall fell asleep, and we need to pray for grace not to fall asleep. If there's ever a time to be alert, it's now, and it's a time to stand. And God showed me this in a prophetic vision. He showed me, I had this vision where three horsemen, I was on the ground, and three horsemen in the night just went right by me very quickly, just speed of light, if you will. And before you knew it, I saw a company of horsemen, maybe 10 wide and maybe 40 deep, if you will. They were all in a straight line, and you could just hear the gallop of the horses, the hoofs, if you will. They were just, they was thunderous and violent and ferocious, and it was just the sound, you know? And I could hear it, and then before you know it, I was hovering, I guess, above the horsemen, and as they were kind of marching or going along, if you will, in this cadence. And but I wasn't on the horse. I was just kind of behind them. And all of a sudden, then I was on the horse. I was one with them, and I was on there. And then the next scene in this vision was there was this border, this wall, if you will, that was wrapping around the edge of a territory, of a country, if you will. And on the left side of the wall was a city and inhabitants and people. And on the right side of the wall was the shore. And I could see, as I was kind of elevated in this dream, I was, you know, looking down, I saw that there was pending doom. There was the waters, there was an ebb and flow in the water. It was dark, a storm was brewing. I had the sense of this aboding, you know, feeling that danger is upon us, and this thing is about to crash and about to wipe out you know, this place, you know, could be the country, and take it out. But then I saw a long line of horsemen. And then I saw the leader of this of the horsemen, the point person, if you will, the point man in the front, was standing up galloping, and they were holding a torch, and they were holding it up high. And all these horsemen were riding on top of the wall. And it was like this last ditch effort. They were sounding the alarm, even to the very end. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I feel that's what we've been doing. We've been doing this for day one. We've been watchmen on the wall. We've been, by the grace of God, trying to hold the torch up high. We've been trying to keep the light of the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ. We've been trying to seek God and abide and spend time with him, and give ear to his voice, and to discern and to seek God for what's happening in this season in our life. The Bible says that David served his generation well, and that's our aim, for Jesus to be glorified and for the church to be united with him, and to stand in the gap for our nation and the church at large, and to believe for a third great awakening. We are living in serious times, and God has given a shout. He's awakening his people to be repairers of the wall. He's waking up the Nehemiahs to say, hey, we're going to have to rebuild, and we're going to have to fight. We're going to all going to have to stand outside of our own places and say, I'm going to hold the line.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to hold this wall. I'm going to stay and stand. And where there's an access point, you can just put me in. There's not a brick. I'll become the brick. I'm going to stand in there, and I'm going to sound the alarm, and I'm going to stand and fight not a physical battle, although it may be physical, but to fight the spiritual battle, which is often more important. This is your time. This is your season. Don't fall asleep on the wall. Be watchmen, be alert, and be a repairer of the wall. This is the church's finest hour, and we can see a third great awakening happening, but we have to repent. We have to turn our hearts to God. We've got to get right with the Lord, and we got to seek his face. We got to seek his face and put Jesus back at in the center of our lives. And when we do that, we're going to be able to stand strong for him. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
We had our Bojangles moment right there. The chicken was good. It's got a little bit of spice to it, not enough for Pat, but it's got good flavor to it, and it was so juicy.
Well, I've got a good chicken place. Next time you come visit, oh, I've got the place.
Your food is so good up there. Oh, my goodness. I wish there was a way that you could just... which one?
There's this place, I don't even know the name. It's a Chinese restaurant, and they stay so full. Actually, Eddie turned me on to this place. But you got to wait like 25 minutes every time you go to order your food. And, it is so... I mean, I'm sure it's not healthy for you, you know what I'm saying? But it is so delicious.
What's the place that you and I went to where they brought over like a whole cow? They kept on bringing nonstop meat, and you kept on, give them more. What was that?
Oh, that was in the Ironbound. We went to, that's Ironbound in New York. What was that?
No, it was Jersey. It was Jersey.
Newark.
Oh, Newark. Oh, no, okay. Yeah,
Ironbound in Newark. It was a Portuguese restaurant. What do they call that? Slip in my mind.
There's the P.
It's called Endless Meats. What do they call that?
Gluttony. Oh my gosh. Bringing. Oh, go ahead. Tell them.
Greg gets off the plane. So the first thing says, let's take you out to eat. So we take him down to the Ironbound in Newark, Portuguese restaurant. And this area is awesome because they all have the same type of restaurants. You go in there, you order your food. And Pat, get this. It's unlimited meat.
Unlimited meat.
So they'll come around and they'll bring you these sausages, the chicken, then they bring you the filet mignon. It's and you know what? I mean, I saw a big smile on Greg's. I even have a picture. Man, big smile on his face.
Oh, let's show that picture.
Oh my goodness! Was it before or after?
Well, he kept on going, moi or something. I don't know.
Oh, I kept bringing him over, but that was good food.
It was like the whole shish kebab. It was like a 4-foot shish kebab.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and they'd come over, and one of them was like a beef one, and one was a chicken one. One was
like sausage,
which was, I was like, don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, right.
You had to work. They made you earn the filet mignon. Yeah.
Like, don't bring me any more sausages, okay? Bring me the filet mignon.
And Isaiah's looking at me like with a grilled cheese sandwich. Why are you getting all that meat? I was like, take it, Isaiah, please. Take it.
We definitely got some food here, I'll tell you that much.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us. I know you wanted to share with us about nameless and faceless people. Talk to us.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the harvest, and this is actually one of Rick Joyner's books. Just an encouraging, and if you have not got this, I encourage you to pick it up.
And the book is called
The book is called The Harvest.
The Harvest.
Okay. And I'm a little bit behind you guys a little earlier. But there's a chapter, and it's called Equipping the Saints. And what has been so encouraging is he's talking about the fact of discipleship and just raising up the body of Christ and just pouring out in others. And I've just been like highlighting after it's like the whole thing's just one big giant highlight. It's powerful. And
I've noticed his books is not something you can listen to on audio. It's like waste.
No, you really got to slow down. And I've read it before, and I'm going back through and reading it again. And it's just really been highlighting. But God stopped me when I was actually reading this. Something just really stuck out to me. And it says, because in this, Rick's, he's talking about the importance of relationships. And he's talking about the fact that there's so many things. But, earlier in the chapter, he talks about the intricacies of building a plane. And a lot of people don't think about it, but it's like there's specific engineers and, one guy's working on a turbine, one guy's working on like the landing gear, one guy's working on the wing, and they might not realize the importance. They don't see the whole picture. Maybe a few people do. They see the whole schematics. But when they bring together their parts, they see, okay, this makes sense. And I was reading it, and it says, you know, we must understand that every part will not be directly joined to every other part. The arm must be joined to the shoulder. And this he's continuing on talking about in relationship to the body. He says the arm must be joined to the shoulder, not the hip. Ultimately, all of the parts will be joined together, but not many will be joined through other parts, possibly not having much of a direct relationship. It can be futile of a waste of time for us to try to join with every other stream in the church. We must be sensitive to give ourselves only to the relationships that the Lord is establishing for us. And God was just really beginning me to just pay attention to is that so often that we can just get so caught up in everything that's going on and just the things that God's doing across the face of the earth, which is encouraging and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. But we got to stay focused of just like, okay, God, what is my portion? Mm-hmm. What have you placed for me? What have you brought me to and what have you brought to me? And God just began to just take me into that deeper encounter. Like if you focus on like the shoulder, I mean, you can say, okay, arm, shoulder, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. But when you go deeper and it's like, okay, there's muscles, you know, there's bones, there's ligaments, there's tendons. There's so many detailed relationships that make that connection work. Mm-hmm. And even more detailed, you got blood vessels, you got veins. And it's like one specific vein or one specific nerve ending can't get caught up in what the muscle's doing or what the bone's doing. And because of the fact that the nerve is being focused on what it's doing, mm-hmm. the whole shoulder is able to come together.
Right.
And so often, you know, I've talked about it before, or others who are aware of like, you know, the inner workings of the body. And it's just like, if you look at like your legs, your leg from your hip to your knee is the biggest bone, your femur, and it's your biggest muscle, your quad. And they can think, okay, well, that's the most impacting part of the body. And it's just like, well, have you ever had like a bad nerve go back or
oh, yeah.
something in your lower back, you have a nerve go out and it's just like mm-hmm. the whole body points at that. And it's like, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's just like really highlights. It's just like, okay, if we're not doing our part, if we're not doing what God has called us to do, what God has entrusted us to do, it's going to hinder the movement of the body.
Mm-hmm. The so you whole think body
about
suffers.
It, exactly. So you think about it, because every portion is being faithful in the shoulder. Every portion is being faithful in the knee, yeah. the hip. The body's able to carry a weight. The body's able to step. But the thing is, though, is the fact that we have to be able to be willing to be that nameless nerve that nobody sees. Because you think about it, there's millions of little nerves. There's millions of little blood vessels mm-hmm. that have to do their job in order for one single body to do their work. And it's just like, that's the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, really, God just began showing me different areas. And it's like, you look at it, you look in the book of Acts, and many people are aware of the Apostle Paul and the extraordinary exploits that he did for the kingdom and how mightily God used his life. Mm-hmm. But what has really jumped out to me is the fact that there were people that sowed into Paul's life. And you look at the Bible and how the Bible describes them, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It calls them the disciples. And you can read about this in Acts 9. It says that, you know, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any names. They didn't have any stories. They didn't have any, like, what their character, which is, they were called disciples. And you read on continuing later in that chapter in Acts 9, it says, in verse 27, it says, Barnabas took him, being Paul, and brought him to the apostles. They didn't have any names. But because of the nameless and faceless ones who poured and who were faithful with the relationship with Paul,
yeah.
we still read about the churches, the nations, the regions that were affected by the power of what God did through Paul, but because of those little veins, mm-hmm. those little disciples, and they're not little in any way, because regardless of the fact of that men did, the eyes of men did not see them, I promise you that the eyes of God saw every single moment that they mm-hmm. were faithful with.
It's powerful. Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. And if you stay in the place of carnality and flesh, you know, it's those that are wanting to be the mm-hmm. face or the this or the that. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, I often think about, I think it was 30,000 men that built Solomon's temple. You know, those were skilled, every single one of them mm-hmm. who spent countless hours building the temple of God. Nobody knows their name.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Nobody knows what they did. And 8, 10, 12 hour days, who knows? How long, how many years did it take to move the trees? They didn't have the mm-hmm. modern technology. They didn't have, you know, everything that it took, the stone to move those. Mm-hmm. And nobody saw them. But believe me, like you said, God sees them. And that's the whole thing about what we're doing for God on any given level. You're not doing anything horizontally. You're always doing things vertically. You're doing it for the audience of one.
Yeah.
And you're not really prepared in ministry unless you're doing it for the audience of one, unless you're doing it for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And the continuing thing is, like, in the awesome thing about that is, like, when you look at our bodies, and I don't know the depths of this, but you look at, like, the amount of cells that die and pass off. You look at, like, your skin cells and die and pass off. There's a constant changing, right? A constant transition. Mm-hmm. And you look at the fact, like you were saying before in an earlier program, it's just like David was described as a man who was faithful in his generation. And it's like, if God is pouring and making us something known to us of who he is in our generation, we're called to pass that on. It's about that next generation. It's about that next movement so that the body can still be faithful, can still be healthy tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's that much more of a significant impact that we have to be able to be sure that it's about the next generation.
Yeah.
Passing it on.
Yeah. And you got to be, I love what you said, you got to be able to stay in your lane. You got to mm-hmm. know what God has called you to. Yes, the body of Christ is diverse. We love the entire body. We love all the different things that God is mm-hmm. doing in the body, but you got to know what God's called you to, mm-hmm. where he's called you, and what is your part? What is your part of the ark that you're supposed to hold and carry before the Lord? Mm-hmm. And God's going to judge you based upon that. That's, you know, what he's looking That's at right. what he's giving you to do. Mm-hmm. And so all you have to do is be faithful to what he's told you, and you're going to be okay. Hold the line, serve God. And do great exploits for him. But it's so important because, you know, the move of God that's coming, it's not going to be, as I understand it, it may be all the names that people may think it may be, mm-hmm. and maybe they're going to be used. But I believe that there's going to be a lot of nameless and faceless folks that you're talking about, Steve, that are going to be used. And because here's the thing, God has this, I don't know, this weird idea that it's all about him. You know what I mean? It's all about him. He shares his glory with no man. Mm-mm. And he just wants us to get out of the way. See, we're just the tool mm-hmm. in his hand. And just as foolish it would be for the hammer to try to shout and say it's about me, or the drill to say it's about me, I'm making all the noise. No, you're just in the master's hand. You're just mm-hmm. the tool and the one that's operating it. And if we understand that I'm just the tool, God is going to get all the glory. He's going to do what he wants to do. All I'm doing in my life is being prepared, making myself ready for when the time, that moment when God says, I need a pen, and he goes into the jar, I need a pencil, I need an eraser, whatever it is, that you're just saying, Lord, pull me out, so that you can be used by the master. Get ready. God's doing a great work. He's looking for you. Will you be the one? We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.